Hey Laura, your hair looks fantastic. Don't worry about it.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm okay. It is so hot in Houston today, like, and the humidity is just horrible.
Hear you. Yeah. It's we had 90 in Chicago yesterday, which was
Oh.
pretty intense for us. So it was good. I mean, it's a nice change of pace, you know?
That is good. Do you have air conditioning? Okay.
We're good. We're good. Inside right now, I'm in a perfect scenario right now, so I can't complain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good. Hi, Lisa.
Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you?
Hanging in there. Good to see you guys.
Kelsey.
Hey y'all. Good to see you. I missed everyone. Hi, April.
It feels
Oop, don't be late for class.
I have to have an alarm for everything. Hi everyone.
Oh.
Nice to
Hey.
see you all.
Hey.
Okay. We all know now. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Morning.
Good morning. Okay, hang on. I'm a little bit upset. Okay, so can you hear me fairly well? Is the mic working? Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, this meeting is being recorded. I am consenting to being recorded. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Steve is probably not going to make it today. He's in Florida, I believe, and it may be a bit too complicated to try and get on the call.
Can I bring it to you? It's already there.
Oh,
Thank you, John.
Sorry. Ken says hi.
Hi, Ken.
I said thank you. You can bring it to me anytime. Yeah. Well,
Forgot I wasn't muted. Sorry.
it's all right. Well, let's just see a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs neutral. And somebody's going to need to mute because it's echoing in somebody's. Okay. Best week of your life, thumbs up. Worst week of your life, thumbs down. Okay, so no extremes this week. Nobody's ascended and nobody's gone into the pits, right? Okay. Wait, was that a.
I you know what? I want to say I actually I'm doing quite well considering the week. I'm pretty proud of myself. We move all of our moving and this and that, and on the last night of our move, my husband ran into my car. Yep.
You guys need to understand her husband is just the nicest guy that ever lived on this planet, right? He's a really hardworking guy. This is nothing that, so this is totally, it's not that Vince is a kind of guy that would run into your car, right?
No. But it
He's
was just
tired.
my fault, right? And it was the end of our day of moving, and we kind of laughed. I mean, it's just so, yes, it's been like there's all these crazy, horrible things that have happened, but it hasn't, I feel like I've stayed pretty neutral through the whole thing. So I guess that's an accomplishment. I'm going to give myself praise.
I'm going to give you, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah,
That's the
exactly.
whole point is in the middle of any, whatever.
Yeah.
I love Kathleen. I love how you took best week of your life, which in my mind even, right? And everybody else's was like, yes. And went, no, it's a tough week, but I handled it really, really well. I mean, I love how you did that.
Yeah,
Nice.
thanks.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Had similar, that I had a really emotional week, really hard week. But I was really proud of myself too, Kathleen. I was like, this shit works. Like, I was really able to stay, like, I felt like, super unsettled, and I felt like, you know, all this work we've been doing with the feeling state, and like recognizing that, like, I don't even know what the emotion is anymore because I'm just recognizing the feeling. Like, I can't actually say, like, it's probably grief and sadness and worry and anxiety and all these things, but I just stayed with the feeling of it. And yeah, it was like, I don't know. It was emotional, but really, I think I'm emotional because I recognize that and it felt good, I guess.
Yeah, but also, good for you.
Yeah. Anyway. So,
April, you just kind of summed it up. I mean, that really is. I mean, it's like you got it. You got it. Let's just be with it. Let's be with it. It's, right. I don't have anything else to add. That's beautiful. Wow. Okay. Now that we're here, what else is going on? Let's do it quick. Just a quick, so we know what's going on with each of us. Cause after next week, we're going to be on break for almost a month, you know? Hmm. And I mean, you're not on break, but we're not meeting, but I'm going to let you know today what you'll be doing during that time. So you don't go into it with false ideas of either too much work to do, too much catch up to do, or nothing to do. We've got, I think, hopefully a really nice balance that will then take us into the summer stuff. But so let's take a minute. So Kathleen and April, we've heard from you. Every one of you, I'm kind of curious, how are things going? We're all curious. Lisa.
My big week is coming.
Okay.
Logan graduates Thursday.
Wow. Mm. Oh, congratulations.
So we've got...
I had a moment.
Yeah, people arriving. We went and visited Embry-Riddle last weekend. So that was helpful to me to see where he will be.
Yeah.
And when I felt myself, you know, doing this and balling up and, you know, feeling like super anxious, I started just like observing all the surroundings and nature and just saying, can you hold him? Can you bless him? Can you surround him? Lift him up. And that helped me feel like I was helping to prepare the place, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was a little tense, you know, because all four of us going, wow, it's going to be a big change. And then we just have a slew of people arriving and, starting Tuesday, and it's, you know, you guys all know the dynamics of a big family event. and I just want to feel like I have moments where I'm there and I'm enjoying it, and if everything doesn't get set up in the backyard, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
And I know we have stuff next weekend, and I already knew that next weekend I'll have to be, you know, I think I'm signed up for the anxiety workshop, which starts Saturday morning, and I'm going to be in this other stuff. So I'll be catching up after. So big stuff, big stuff. So this shit better work.
Okay, one side of the mug said this shit works. The other side says this shit better work. And you can, depending on the day, right? And Lisa, I just want to really affirm, and this is, and everybody, you know, it's like, I cannot say it enough because it's so counter to what our culture does, but you have to show up for your life. Your life is your life. Your life is your path. That's all you've got. And if you're showing up for their life, you think you should be having, you're not showing up for your life. Mm-hmm. Do you hear me?
Yes.
The life you think you should be having. No. Show up for your life. The life that's actually happening. When you show up for what's actually happening, fully present, the paradox is you will create the life you've wanted your whole life. Your dream will come true. I know Lisa's looking at me like, what? No, it's like, we've talked about, we're drawing ourselves to a dream somewhere. We're drawing ourselves to that island, to that dream. And we sit in class and we think we have a dream. You think I want this, this, this. But I'm going to tell you, you came in with a dream. You came in with a dream. And your life is about fulfilling that dream. And part of our unfolding is letting go of what we think that dream should look like. Mm-hmm. And when we show up for what is actually happening in our life, it brings us to that other shore. It brings us to the dream. It's like, I don't know how to communicate it.
Yeah.
It's just that. Your life is that. The dream is already in place. It's already in place. And you are fulfilling it. And it feels like the relationships that are so difficult, the tragedies and traumas are just, you know, they feel like obstacles, but it's like, I think Pema says in her book, you know, these things are here to show us what we need to know, to teach us what we need to learn.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I just, I'm so, when I hear like Steve, taking the time, Steve, when you hear this, you're going to hear this, you know, kudos to you, to bump up against the part of him that wants to do it correct, you know, this was assignment, this is it, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And the bigger call, which is use everything we're learning and show up for the life you're having right now. And yes, go visit your mom, go visit your family, and all of the dynamics and importance of that. That's your life right now. That's what you show up for. Doesn't mean you're not doing the class. It just means you're using the class in what you're doing. And you know that you have the support and latitude of everybody here and me. I mean, it's my program. If I tell you, like, Lisa, don't worry about it next weekend. I really mean don't worry about it next weekend, right? Can you not worry about it? Can you not worry about it? Can you let go of your expectation and your shoulds? Right? So thank you for bringing that up. So I just want to impress it upon you guys again. Yes. Show up for your life. Show up for your life. So, okay. Every time I sit and I go, I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to listen. So would somebody else like to check in? Let us know how things are going.
Well, I can go because I'll just get it done. a couple of you know my week kind of got turned upside down on Thursday. my, as many of you know, my mom has been on a decline with dementia and Alzheimer's. And the nurse called Thursday afternoon and said, well, the caregivers called us over and she's not getting out of bed. She's not eating. She's not responding to anybody. This is probably her, you know, transition. And so I called my brother who lives in Tacoma. He starts frantically driving down. I get kids and husband and everybody all situated. And I get over to the house at about 4. And our caregiver had texted me earlier saying, I don't know what Rachel told you, but your mom's up. I think she's just having a tired day. And I was like, okay. And anyways, so I get there around 4 and mom is out of bed. She's sitting in her recliner chair and she's not better, but she's awake. She wasn't talking. She was very vacant, you know? And so I still wasn't convinced that we were out of the woods, so to speak. And so my brother stayed here and then we went over Friday morning and she was totally fine, baseline Alzheimer's dementia, still kind of off in her own world, but she was actually I'd seen her on Wednesday before all this happened and she was really hyper. She was very oriented. She was very talkative. She was very chatty. And she was kind of back to that Friday by the time we were there. So my brother's looking at me like, all right, do I stay? Do I go home? What do I do? And he stayed one more night and he went and saw her again yesterday. I said, I need to get off the roller coaster for a day or two. I can't go see her again. And, you know, so I didn't go. And he said they had a perfectly fine visit. And so it's very strange. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not sure what to make of it all, but it is showing up for what's happening, right, Karen? So, yeah, I don't know, but it's really challenging to go in thinking this was going to be, and I say this, and those of you that know me, been waiting for that call, because when you're on this path, you know it's going to come. And so I was took a couple of hours to like prepare myself for what I was probably going to experience that day. And then for it to not happen is this huge, you know, I hate to say a disappointment, but it kind of was, because I know I just have to go through it again later. So, yeah. So yesterday it was more in the like, I was just pissed off at everything. So I have days that I'm very together, and yesterday I was just mad. I didn't feel good. I had a headache all day. I just was like, you know. So.
Well, Brenda, you named it and you said it to a group of people out loud, and everybody's been through this. Get it. Got it. There's no judgment. There's no, in fact, as you're talking, I was hoping everybody, this is what it means to hold space for someone, right? I mean, in a way, Zoom is really good at helping us do that, because you can't reach out and hug. You can't put your hand on someone's knee, as you know, you can't, and we're in a group, so we've trained ourselves to just listen. But I don't know about you, but my heart was just really wide open, just kind of holding space, right? And that's what it is, holding space. We just become a container that doesn't have to fix it or solve it, but just go, yeah, wow. And maybe a bit of awe for Brenda, your willingness to be so authentic. And name it and say it out loud, what is unsayable in much of the culture, right? I mean, there are people who would rip us up for saying something like that.
Yeah.
But here we get it. We get it. And you showing up for that was beautiful to participate in. And I can see it. People are nodding. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for bringing your beautiful, authentic self pursue this. And then I'm going to, because I can't help it right now, because the beautiful, this is life, right? It's like this, and we move forward. And so, who would like to go next? And for the person who follows something like this, which is really difficult, right? It's okay to just take that breath, settle yourself, and let yourself transition from that open-hearted space for Brenda into back into your space, into your head. And that's also training us. The same thing, the body scan is training us, isn't it? I'm in my ankle. It's achy. I sprained it. It's hurting. Okay, now I move to my calf. Oh, here's what's going on in my calf. And we let go of the ankle. We just move to the next, move to the next. And it's not a cold, mean thing. It's life. And this is going to, we're teaching as our checking in today is obviously what's happening. So I was going to save the story for later, but I'm going to tell you the story. It's called Muddy Road. And this version I'm going to give you actually has the monks' names in it. And these two monks are traveling, and they need to travel up to the monastery, which is up on the mountain. And they're traveling along, they come to the river, and there's a young, beautiful, beautiful woman. Some story she's a bride who needs to cross the river, but it's moving too fast and it's too deep. And so one of the monks picks her up and carries her across the river. And then the two monks, she says, thank you, of course. And the two monks continue miles up the mountain to the monastery, and the one monk is just silent and fuming, right? The other monk is like, just walking along. They get up to the monastery, they're about to sit down for dinner, and the fuming monk goes, how could you do that? How could you pick up that woman? You know our vows tell us we are not allowed to touch a female. And the other monk looks at him and goes, whoa, brother, I put her down miles ago. Are you still carrying her? I put her down miles ago. Are you still carrying her? And this is what I love about this path, is it's all interconnected. The body scan is connected to Brenda's story and our check-in, connected to the story of the muddy road, connected to being able to accept death and birth and change around us and within us. I mean, so all these little practices, they train us to be able to see when it's time to let something go. And so with that, I hope that's a little bit of a transition. Brenda, thanks again. And who would like to go next? Go ahead, Kelsey.
All right. So I just want to, fourth what everyone else has said about all the things we're learning being really helpful through life. Because that was definitely true for me this week. I came out of visiting my parents, which was great, but emotional, and then all kinds of flight mishaps. And so trying to maintain my calmness through all that tiredness and like just all the bullshit you go through flying. I was like, okay, we can make it. And then this week I had 3 interviews in 24 hours. So like coming back and it's like straight into it. And you know, even though I haven't watched the Tom Glenn video, I've been using that a lot, and it's been so helpful for every moment when I start to feel anxious or angry or whatever. Just that notion of like, this isn't going to last forever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be over and it's going to change into something else, probably, you know, in a few hours. So it's been a lot of ups and downs, but I'm really thankful to have these tools along the journey to keep it in the middle, because it's a new experience. And I'm just really thankful.
What's a new experience, Kelsey? Could you say a little more about that?
Yes. Being able to recognize that I am not awareness. I am not my nervous energy. I'm not my frustration. I'm not tiredness. You know, being able to step outside of myself and hold that perspective of everything else happening around me and within me too. It's just such a cool experience, and it's so relieving for me. Like, oh, I don't have to be all of these emotions. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hey. That was lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Agnieszka, yeah.
Well, I can so relate to every single one of you with what we're going through. And Brenda, my mom transitioned last November. So it's, and she was bedridden for, I think, 11 months. So I know those emotions, you know, that it's, you're kind of waiting for it to happen because you know it's going to be a relief for her and the end of her suffering. But it's a strange emotion to her thought to have and be okay with it. So I totally relate to that. And it kind of, when you talked about it, it brought up a lot of moments, you know. But it's, you know, It's all good. But what I've been, so I also can relate to what Kelsey said about kind of being an observer of things happening. And I think my greatest challenge is to, you know, a lot of changes are happening in my life, have been since last year. And I am able to, I think for the first time, more than ever, allowing those emotions to come up and feel them. But I still have this thought, oh, you should be past this. Why are you so, you know, come on, get over it. Move on. Let go. And this is, and even when you're telling this story, and I've heard that story many times, it's like, see, why are you carrying all this stuff? Why? Just... you're so this and that. And I'm listening a lot of, you know, stuff, books or about, you know, personalities and right. or archetypes and and there's so much like self-judgment. Oh, and of course you never pick up the good qualities, right? You just pick the, oh yeah, I'm that. And then some emotions that I have that I'm ashamed of. I think I'm doing better thanks to Tonglen and what, and I know it's going to pass. I really know it. So there is this part, okay, it's going to be okay. Just let yourself feel it. Let this stuff pass. I feel like I'm a radio, some sort of a receiver that it comes through me and it just has to go through me. And I hope for it to leave. But this judgment of why aren't you, you know, you've been doing this stuff for all these years. What's wrong with you? then I know there's nothing wrong with me. Other people feel it, but what's wrong with me? So I think this is the hardest, that self-judgment of not being able to be through. Yeah. So thank you for listening.
Agnieszka, that was so so heartfelt and so well said. And we are, you know, I kind of had to rejigger what we're doing, and I've got, you know, like several lessons and ahead, and I'm trying to redo because, you know, we've adapted. And one of the things that came back into my plate for these last two classes was, and I'm literally thinking, why are we going to, no, Karen, I don't know why. Oh, okay, fine. Just intense emotions, dealing with intense emotions, because that is part of the Tonglen, what it's for, right? And so what you're feeling is so normal. And what I want to say is that we're not over it, because we're not, it's not about that. It's not about that situation. It's not about the girl carrying across the river. That's done. The monk who was able to put her down and move on had balanced and healed. The other monk was still dealing with whatever his own issues were about doing things perfectly, not bending, not adapting. What are other people going to think about me? Shame and judgment. The other monk, that's what was working on. It was in the other monk was the issue. The monk who was able to pick up the woman, help her cross the river, because that was the need in the moment. That was the kindness in the moment. And then not think about it again. Those rules weren't made for him. The rules weren't made for him. You following me? Because he knows how to show up in the moment, do what needs to be done, and not carry it. He's balanced his desires, his resistance, his lust, his cravings, his judgment. He's balanced those things. He doesn't need those rules. He knows how to show up in the moment, present for the moment, and do what needs to be done without any judgment, without any shame, without any anger, without any blame. Just show up, do your life with kindness, with compassion. The other monk is more like us, right? Oh, gee. You know, if he was in my class, we'd be going, oh, gee, what made you so angry? How can you get so angry at that guy? By, you know, because it's about him. His anger is about him. And so when these emotions come up, it's there's something we still need to resolve and heal that probably has nothing to do with the situation. Well, it might if it's dealing with forgiveness or things like that. But it could just be about our own shame, our own feelings of not being good enough, which you even just mentioned, right? I'm not good enough. I can't move on. And we need to go in and heal those things. We need to become content with our humanity, with ourselves, just as we are. Just as we are, which Brenda demonstrated. She said out loud, what you can't say in this culture was, I'm so tired of the roller coaster. I really wish she would have gone. But anybody who's taking care of somebody, well, not anybody, you know, but, you know, it's like you get the feeling. We've all been there. You're exhausted. Your whole life is put on hold. It is it is the set, everything else in your life has to revolve around that, right? And it's, and we do it and it's work and we do it and we keep showing up full heartedly, but it's a, until we're like the first monk, it's hard. It's a drain on us. And we have those thoughts and there's nothing wrong with having those thoughts. That's what we're learning. So these intense emotions, it's not about when am I going to be over it, but that's somebody else's voice in your head going, and all of us, I don't know, maybe not all of us, hopefully not all of us, get over it. Why are you still crying about that? Get over it. Move on. You know, it's like, and there's a harshness that says, and it was well intended. It's well intended. I mean, not to just digress, but to digress. I've been watching Yellowstone. It's a it's a thing about Montana with Kevin Costner and my daughter. It doesn't matter. Karen. Anyways, you watch that cowboy culture, that white male cowboy culture, and it's vicious. It's that shit that I was raised with. Now, if you're a male in that culture, you understand it, right? But the rest of us, we're going, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. But part of that culture is. And that's why it's suck it up, move on, don't ever talk about it again. Bury it, boom, move on, right? And this what's happened with this, this incredible period of time that we're living in is there's this other awareness coming in going, I don't think that works. That just breeds more people who want to just be mean and move on and suck it up. And it just makes them mean and angry. And anyways, you got my point. It's a cultural thing. And so Agnieszka, and for all of us, it's what's the ghost in your head? Whose voice is in your head saying that? It's not yours. It came from somebody. And one of the things we do on this path is we go back and figure out whose voice is that? And it's not like you have to find every voice that ever said it. But for me, I know, you know, for whatever it is, my dad, it was my dad's voice. And I have to go in there and have my little talk with my dad. It's like, you know, at first it was angry because that's where my strength came from. Don't you ever fucking talk to me like that again. I will not. In my mind, I'm holding my little Karen. And don't you talk to her like that. I will not let you treat her like that again. And then it softens up. And I have that voice is no longer in my head. Does that make sense? We have to literally repattern and reprogram. And that's a lot of the anxiety class. Well, not a lot of it, but that we'll be covering that in more depth there. But that's the path. There's nothing wrong with us doing it. This is the path. I mean, these teachings have been around for millennia because this is the path. It's just how it is. You come in, you get this programming, and then you grow up and you go, let me consciously choose my programming. Right? I mean, it's just this. So I want to just say I wasn't able to let Agnieszka just sit in the quiet and move on because I wanted to address it specifically because it is related to what we want to talk about. And my brain is such that since I don't have a pencil with me, I would literally have forgotten what the point by the time we were done with everybody. So I hope we could, this has obviously turned into a teaching back and forth. So Agnieszka, I hope that helped a little bit.
I just want to say that I appreciate you taking time to talk, to say something to each of us, because it's very helpful.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that because I see these other teachers who listen to everybody. And then at the end they go, da, 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 talk that. And I'm like, how do they do that? I can't keep it all in my head. So So this is how I'm going to be doing it. And I appreciate that. Okay, so Laura and Lisa and Ramon, would Laura? I see you on mute. Yeah.
Yeah. I teach at the University of Houston. So yesterday I put in all of my grades and now I am off for 11 weeks. And I'm just so excited because usually I do work during the summer, but I've asked for time off to address everything that's happened in this last year. Which, you know, your story makes me go, oh, I am still figuring out, like, was that the right thing to do? And so I'm just hoping that since I can sort of shelf my job for a while, that I can focus better on the things that I want to focus on, you know, without distractions. So I'm just excited. I, like, who was it on the other side of the mug? I'm like, I hope this works because I've got a certain amount of time to like figure it out.
Okay. So hang on one second here. So April, our mug from Sarah will have the meditation mama lady meditating on it, right? And then one side says, I hope this shit works. The other says, this shit works. You guys, I could show you. Can I pick this up? Oh, I'm not plugged in. Let me show you. This is what I have on my whiteboard. And I wrote this because it was like, oh my God, I was having a moment. Can you see it? Can you see that right there? This meditation shit works. I mean, I wrote it down. It still baffles me and marvels me that it works. It's like, damn. So, I think there's something to be said for the ongoing awe of this process. So yeah, Laura, we're with you.
Thanks. I did see a friend last night and she's like, and I hadn't seen her in probably a year, maybe. And we have kids that are the same age. And so we got to check in with each other and stuff. And she's like, you're different. And I was so excited. I was like, well, the only thing I'm doing different is I'm in a meditation teacher training. So there's my evidence that I think it's working.
Oh, we're all happy for you. Mm-hmm. Because not all of us get that validation.
Yeah, it was super sweet. I didn't expect it. So.
Wow. Nice.
And she put it in a text message so I can read it over and over and over again.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It's like Agnieszka said, you know, like someone will deliver something verbally, but you hold on to certain parts. And I tend to be like, oh, well, she sort of said that with a certain way. I don't really believe that word or whatever. But when it's in a text message, there's no undertones to it. Or, yeah.
That's beautiful. May each one of you be gifted with a text message of this sort, and we'll make it, let it be a symbolic statement, some message somewhere validating the growth, noticing it, because it usually is not going to come from the people we live with. Sorry. They have too much history and they see us through a lens that you can have been doing something different for 10 years and they're still seeing the old because it's a pattern in them, right? So we need to. Those moments that Laura just had are precious. But this is also why it's so important that you see it. It's important that you see it and you validate it. Because they don't know what's going on in your head. They don't know that you were quiet for, it was 5 seconds before you opened your mouth. You restrained for 5 seconds longer. That's a huge victory. They don't need to know that. They don't care. You know? So. That was harsh. All right. Lisa or Ramon? Thank you, Laura.
I'll go. This, to say something about evidence, I was trying to share with my boss yesterday about the Thursday class because I'm realizing I'm attached to everyone's outcomes. And I started with, well, I know you think I'm weird. Most people do. And she said, yeah, I've noticed. But you said it first. And so I don't know if that's like evidence or not, but I'm going with that feeling. So I've been chewing on that a bit, but not everybody gets this. Not everybody understands this. And when it's something that you absolutely need in your life, I think you look stranger doing it, or stranger trying to explain the excitement about it. I don't know. I'm being tested really hard with outcomes, I think. Yeah, I'm having to watch my children from a place where I can't do anything. And all outcomes are pointing to suicide. And I can't do anything. And it's really hard. And so I'm just sitting back trying to just deal with all that. So that was yesterday that came through. But I see the lesson that's progressing. And when Karen, you mentioned, I don't know if it was Thursday or not, just all blurs together, but this is the path. You know, you're always thinking, well, I'm going to do the teacher training because then I'm going to get to that path that I'm supposed to be on or whatever. But this is the path, and the people in my life right now are the path. And I've been able to look at everyone a little differently, because it's always been everyone's an obstacle to my path, you know, because I've got this idea that it's, you know, got to look different. And so it's, I'm trying to draw that line. I'm trying to find that boundary. And it's such a faint line because I've been in charge of everyone's outcomes. Like, there was a time I was projected to send my son to Emory Riddle, you know, and he was 16 at CCC doing his college. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And he came home and he's like, Mom, I need to tell you something. I'm like, yes. I thought it was, you know, horrible something. And he's like, I want to be a mechanic. And I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, he doesn't want to be an engineer. Okay. But it's outcomes, and it's been my job. And now I don't know. It's hard to sit in this place. And I don't know. It's just a weird place to sit in. I think everybody, this whole time is weird because we've been put on pause, and now everybody's life is changing at once. And it's evident in the road. It's evident dealing with people. It's, nothing is normal. And I'm having a hard time finding my bearings because I've been so legalistic. I guess all the rules are gone. I don't even know what I'm carrying. And I think of that monk, and it's like, well, if he realized that it's okay to touch a woman, maybe he would have done it too. And he wouldn't have, maybe, I don't even know, you know, it's like, I don't understand that story, because I'm also thinking my ex-husband could go and cheat on me and be in the moment and come home and love on his kids and have sex with me and be in the moment. And like, so what does that mean? Like, that blows my mind. So I'm trying to draw that line too, if you understand what I mean, because like, I don't want to be a sociopath, you know, because they can look like they have compassion and they can do nice things too and be in the moment. And so I don't know. I'm just trying to draw lines around myself, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, or erase lines. I don't even know. I guess I'll just sit and meditate today and figure it out, because I've lost my car keys and I have to leave right after meditation. And I think they're in my car. So that is also on my mind. My car's locked. So yeah, that's it.
Okay. So I just want to say, when somebody is in, and you've all been here, or you will be, or your child will be, or your spouse will be, where Lisa is right now, I think it's really important for us to look at this as she's in a very sacred spot. When we have lost our mooring, we have lost the old rules no longer apply, but I don't quite get the new rules. This isn't making any sense to me, but it does, and then a story like that comes along and there's so many layers to it. this is, it's, how do I, what's the analogy I want to use? It's like, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but this is what came to me. Somebody comes up with a better one, let us know. But it's almost like it's a little baby bird in a nest. And the, or it's an egg. And the egg is just cracked. And this little bird that had all these boundaries that were holding it, that gave it protection and kept it safe, all these rules, all these structures, right? It just, it cracked. And there you sit. And this little, it's so fragile and so tender. And it needs time. It just needs time. It doesn't need to be bathed. It doesn't need to be told what to do. It just needs to stay in its littleness. Mommy comes along and gives it a little bit of something. She's already chewed up. We're not even reality into reality yet, right? That's a sacred, sacred time. And that's what Lisa's describing. And in some ways, each one of you. And so what we want to do is for ourselves. And I can only say it symbolically because each situation is so unique. But you need to find that little nest that you can stay safe in till time has given you the feathers and flushed you out enough and giving you enough muscle and strength. By just being in the nest, staying safe, you will heal up, flush up, evolve up to where you can fly. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And so, as Lisa said, nobody gets it. I mean, the rest of the world doesn't get it. It's like, you know, and they don't need to. They don't need to. This path isn't for everybody. It really isn't. But you're ready. And our path isn't any better than anybody else's. Let's be clear. It's just what works for us, okay? There are a lot of people very, very happy on their path.
Yeah.
We don't have any right to go in there and tell them, wait, you should be doing it what I do. No, no, no. This is our path. This is what we are ready for. This is what we have chosen. And so, Lisa, if it's any, I don't know, but sometimes it just helps me, okay, this is a real place. My egg cracked. I've just come out of this egg. And I'm still looking for the shell and I'm looking for these things and they're, oh, nope, not there. What do I, just time, time, time. And your Gemini mind is going to want to figure it out logically. And it's not a logical process.
I taught logic. It was my favorite class to teach, debate and logic.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is a new place that we're all in. Which we, in a way, April started us with, I don't know what it is. It's just a feeling. And I've been able to just sit with it and let it do what it needs to do. It knows what to do. It doesn't need you to tell it what to do. It doesn't need you to tell it what to do. It knows. And we just hold a space for it and it will do it. It will do it. And so then I'll just complete it with this one. When Lisa has a full life, right? I mean, you're working, are you working 40 hours or a week now, Lisa?
No, I told her I need to just cut back. And now I have every other Saturday a late open so I can do the anxiety workshop.
Okay. All right. But each one, we all have lives. I mean, I look at, you either have kids or pets or spouses or houses or jobs or all, right? And you can, yes, you can hold that sacred safety place for yourself, the egg that's just cracked. You can do that and still function. But let's settle for minimal function, which means when you need to go lay in bed, lay in bed. My poor daughter, as you know, not poor daughter, I shouldn't say that. I mean, she's getting better, but like yesterday, she's the first real in 2 weeks. And it's that old pattern in the head that you can't go lay down in bed. Oh my God, if I go lay down in bed, then that means I'm back in my panic. I'm back in my this. And it's like, no. If you need to lay in your bed, pay attention to what your body's asking for and go lay in your bed. That other way of thinking is what Agnieszka told us, right? It's like, get over it, move on, boom, boom, right? What we're learning is, oh, no, my body needs to go lay in bed. Let me go lay in bed. Well, you're not going to lay in bed for the rest of your life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to lay in bed until you don't need to lay in bed anymore. You're going to lay in bed so you can be in your sacred little spot with your little fledgling bird that's just still damp from cracking out of the egg, going, ah, I don't know what's going on. You know, you just cuddle up in your bed and you give it time, you give it time, you give it time. So Ramon, before you go, so you guys, now you understand the nursery rhyme. Now you understand the nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And when that egg cracked, when it cracked, all the king's horses and all the king's men, and the horses are the mind, the forces of the thought patterns, the mind, and the men, the physical, none of that could put Humpty back together again. Humpty had to find a new way. You're on the wall. Now you're back, now you're here. You've said, I want to do it different. And when we hit those places, it's sacred. So Ramon, how are you doing?
I've been keeping quiet because I'm blown away by everyone's kind of authenticity and kind of bringing this stuff to light. I could resonate with a lot of the stuff that people have said with their mothers and kind of feeling the way that they do. So I'm just feeling some feelings here. So I'm kind of, that's why I haven't really said or haven't volunteered much. I had emotionally, I pretty much had a really normal week. I had, you know, I was busy at work. So I kind of just went through the week. I've been applying a lot of these teachings for a while now, like kind of thinking, kind of seeing what my thoughts are when things happen and kind of, you know, trying to be kind to myself, a little bit kinder, but I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit kind of emotionally attached to what some of the folks said. So I don't think I have much to say right now.
Okay. I'm glad you're there though. I'm glad that you were able to you didn't pull yourself out. You're able to just kind of, okay, no, this is where I'm at right now. It's not talking time. All right, so let's do this. Now that we've covered some of what we're going to talk about with intense emotion, let's do a little Tonglen. Let's just do a little Tonglen, okay? And I'm going to wait till we're into it to decide whether to do the one I already taught you or a slightly different version. I don't know yet. I'm going to need to sit with that. So let's find our seat. Let's just come into meditation and we'll do a version of Tonglen. We'll see what shows up. So let's take a moment. Just find your seat. And what if we take a few moments here just in the quiet and you can soften from your crown down into your seat just to keep yourself present in your body, to soften the body but hold that part of the exhale and the inhaling process right now is to release resistance, to just let go. And the inhale comes in and it softens by gently expanding. So however that works for you, each exhale, just have a sense that beautiful, warm, nurturing breath is actually creating some space in between the tightness that comes from resisting. And so the inhale is an opening of that resistance, a letting go with the exhale, just softening with that exhale. Inhale is an opening. The exhale is a letting go. And what is the experience in let's call it somewhere in your torso. For some of you, it may be a sensation in your heart center. Some of you might be in your gut. Some of you might be in your throat. Some of you, you know, sometimes it feels like your head has just gotten very cloudy and foggy. But where are you feeling the after effect of our discussion? The emotional. We've opened into a kind of tender place here. Where is that showing up for you? And let's see if we can let go of any story about it and simply be with the sensation. Simply be with the feeling. You know, that's that word that has so many dimensions to it. What is the sensation in the body, the sensation in the energy body? And then what I'd like you to do is to just hold the awareness that other people feel this way too. And with that awareness that other people feel this way too, can you inhale? And as you inhale, it's as if you're literally just leaning into the feeling. You're not running away. You're not avoiding. You're just leaning in. Oh, other people feel this way too. And you just keep repeating with each inhale. Other people feel this way too. And see if there is a sense of opening in the heart center, a sense of ease. As you say those words, and let me speak to what the implication of those words. And with that, underneath those words is the message, you're not alone. I'm not alone. Other people feel this way too. Included in this simple phrase is there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me. Other people feel this way too. There's nothing to be ashamed of. included in those simple words is the message that you're not broken. You deserve to be a part of the humanity of the human race. You are worthy of being here. Other people feel this way too. And just notice what happens in the heart center. Perhaps, hopefully, a sense of ease coming into the heart. And this is where it's important that you discern what is going on. If there's tightness, if the thought other people feel this way too brings ease, then keep that thought. If the tightness becomes so strong, then breathe into it. Let go of the words and just deal with the physical sensation of tightness, using your breath to soften and release. And you just do that until you've softened up enough, opened up enough to go, oh, this is the feeling, and others feel this too. And this will pass. This will pass. And so now yours is to keep breathing into that, leaning into it, that opening in the heart center. Using the simple words, other people feel this way too. And this will pass. And included in the words, this will pass, is the knowing that nothing, nothing lasts forever. Everything changes. And you can do this. You can show up for this right here, right now. Because you know it's temporary. It doesn't feel it. But we let our mind know this is. Our mind reassures us, this will pass, this will pass. And then, that opening the heart, that opening the heart that says, oh my gosh, others are feeling this. My heart goes out to them. I know exactly how they feel. I know how they feel, and I wish they didn't have to feel this way. And what does that feel like when you have that thought, I wish they never had to feel this? Whatever opening or softening or sincere yearning to ease them, relieve them of that suffering arises, this is touching into compassion. And so our heart is opening now into compassion. Others feel this. This will pass, and oh, I wish I could ease their suffering. And so now we send this wish to ease their suffering out as a light. We send it out as a light of compassion. And as we breathe in that same compassion that we are sending to them into that opening. And we hold space with our breath, with our body. For the hurt, for the confusion, as we feel compassion. The compassion we are sending out is the very same compassion that we are drinking back into our own being. And see if you can just be like the monk on the mountain right now and allow yourself to flow with the feeling of compassion that you are sending out, that you found, and breathe it back in. That compassion, that feeling of compassion for yourself, just breathe it in. We're sending out compassion. Flows back in with the inhale, and the heart gradually becomes filled with a sense, a feeling of compassion. And then we gently take our hand, our dominant hand, and we place it on the heart center. And just feel can you feel the touch? And feel it as an affectionate, caring presence. And then take your non-dominant hand and place it on top and feel. There's something about feeling that other hand on top of this hand. And we say, may I be at ease. May I feel safe and protected. May I be happy. May I feel loving kindness. May I be filled with loving kindness. And may I be held in loving kindness. That I may be at peace. And let's just rest here with our hands, feeling the touch, the warmth, the caring of our own touch, and just rest for a few moments in the silence. Let's just rest here together, soft, quiet, present. And then very gently take a nice, gentle, deep 3-part inhale. Feel the chest rising up to meet your hands. And as you exhale, gently release your hands. Slowly, mindfully let them return to your lap. And once again, just rest for a few moments. Just rest. And before we return from the meditation, just check back in with your body. If your face is tensed up, if your jaw has tensed up. See if you can soften. Softening back into the present moment, back into your seat. Back into your feet. And your hands. It's a whole new position for your hands from just a few minutes ago. Can you be present in your hands, on your lap? And here's where our story comes in. No right or wrong, but just notice. Can you move into the awareness of the sensation in your hands as they are right now? Letting go of everything before this moment. And just be present in your hands. Showing up for this moment. And just notice what the experience was. There's no right or wrong. It's just about being aware. Showing up for what's showing up for you. So I think this is a good time for us to just kind of move into a break. We'll come back at about 5 minutes tonight for the hour, but it'll give you a chance to kind of transition and maybe write in your journals a little bit. In fact, why don't we come back at on the hour? And it might be nice to just write in your journals what you experience with this, and then we can talk about it a little bit when we come back. But why don't you write in your journals and then go take a break. If you're in Central Time, get some lunch. If you're here in Oregon, maybe get a mid-morning snack. And we'll come back on the hour. Okay. All right. All right, beautiful ones. Okay, we'll see you in 15.